All right, we are in Hebrews chapter 11, coming up verse 11. So that's in the second book for this chapter. And we have printouts of those if you need them. They're online as well. We'll use those. You do with them what you want. If they're just good for doodling, hey, that's fine too. Hopefully, booklets help. So I have noticed, and so bear with me, that you can tell as we've gone through this study, at least the last, chapter 10 and on here, I got all kinds of typos and everything all through it. You could just tell, getting to the end of it that I'm, starting to wander or something. I don't know, but not that my keyboarding skills have ever been fantastic, but try to overlook those if you can, because even sometimes I'll look at them and I'll be like, why in the world does it say? But anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. I just want to lay a little bit of a groundwork ahead of this. Oh, is that me making all that? What I want to share with us is this is a very interesting text in the Greek specifically, because we don't see it in the English. But this passage of Scripture here in verse 11 gives us some indication. I'm trying to decide. Go ahead and put the verse up, Xander. Normally I give a little intro and then we go to the verse, but I want you to see the verse and then hear what I'm talking about, as we get to that, and we may read the verse again, but it says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Okay. So, I'm not trying to be smart on this, but what I'm trying to do is help, when I say smart Alec about it. So does that verse say that Sarah had faith? No. That's what we miss out on this, many times. We're going through here and it says that so-and-so by their faith, so-and-so by their faith. But, if you would tear this down from the Greek standpoint. So here's where we say a problem arises. Now we go back to the beginning of our intro on this. However, because the Greek word translated conceive seed is not the word for the mother's part in conception at all, but here it's actually referred to as the father's part. Why would that matter if we're talking, remember, Rick had been going over it. Coop is now in it. We're talking about the whole thing for them. And so as we're on the Wednesday night classes, so in addition, Sarah is pictured in the Old Testament, but not as believing God's promise. Remember, and this is where we have to go by the Holy Spirit, the Lord, knowing. So we know that Isaac's name means laughter. But remember, who laughed first? Abraham laughed first, and it wasn't in a scornful, doubting manner. It's almost as if, if I'd tell you when the banks open tomorrow morning, check out your account. There's going to be $10 million in there. Jason would be like, right. Hey, that'd be great if it happened, but not scorning it because you never know until you look. I'm just to say, if it is, it's not for me. But so as we look at this, so there is a laughter on that of, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Hers was a little different. And so that's what we want to look at. But laughing at it in scorn and disbelief. Finally, the statement that Sarah was delivered of a child is not in the better Greek manuscripts or even later English versions. It is suggested that it is by Abraham's faith that he went out. Remember, we're talking about Abraham here in the first several of these. Abraham went out by faith, verse 8. By Abraham's faith, he sojourned, verse 9. And by Abraham's faith, Sarah had a son, verse 11. And by Abraham's faith, he offered Isaac in verse 17. And so we look at this, many times we'll say, well, it goes from talking about Abraham to Sarah and then back to Abraham. I don't necessarily think that's the path. I think it's all Abraham. Those things that are suggested, the fulfillment of this promise, impossible by human calculations, became possible by the faith of Abraham. Remember what era we are in. What era are we in? The patriarch. That does not mean that they talk to the mothers. That means they talk to the fathers, and they talk to Abraham, and it's all based on Abraham. I believe at any point in this time, if Abraham, as we see, his faith continues to grow, no doubt, as we've looked from where it was. And I think that's a good example for what the Lord wants for us as well, that we start out that our faith is, okay, this is what it says. But as we start to understand the Bible more, we understand why this is what it is. Same thing in Abraham's life. That as he continued on through this, I believe his faith continued to grow, that he matured. He matured in that. And so it was made possible by Abraham's faith. He exemplified the highest quality of faith, which judges God to be faithful in all that he has promised and act accordingly. Now let's look at verse 11 again. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So now we see she considered him faithful, but it never says that she had that faith. It said she considered him to be faithful. Do we believe that God is faithful? Do we believe that it's incomprehensible, that it cannot happen, that God will keep his promises? Do we believe that he is faithful to the very end, no matter what it may be? And we believe that he can do anything? Now let's talk about our faithfulness. Are we on that same level? Are we even close? So that's what I want for us to get that idea. Just because she had 100% belief and faith that God would be faithful doesn't mean that she wasn't having her struggles as well. And I think we all hopefully can understand that. It is interesting that by faith, example is completely passive. Most of the other instances speak of what a person did by faith. Here it speaks of what God did for Sarah. Just as we today are blessed by God because of Abraham's faith, perhaps so was Sarah. Remember, she laughed at the idea of having a baby. It's hard to blame her skepticism. We went into that in pretty good detail on why she had every right to be able to be that way. After all, she was past the childbearing years, being 90 years old. Even though it was not logical, and even though it went against human experience, she at some point had come to faith that God is faithful to his promises. And so isn't that, I know we've referenced the mustard seed several times and how small our faith is and how that can grow, but isn't it reassuring that it's based on God's faithful promises that he will continue? And that's where when it talks about, I can't remember what chapter, was it 15 with the splitting of the carcasses? In Genesis there, when God made that covenant that he walked through the fire, that he made it a covenant that he would not break. We don't see Abraham. That was a one-way covenant, which was out of the norm That was God's faithfulness being expressed. Let's see. And she would believe God said that he would do it. And many times, so as we look at that, not saying that she didn't come to develop that faith, but at this, what we're looking at here is, because I wanted to just point out one quick New Testament lesson that I think hopefully would go with this. I believe it's found in Mark chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5 and maybe Matthew 9. Peter, they're at the house, and all of a sudden people start cutting through the roof. And what did Jesus say? Whose faith did Jesus say saved this guy? His friend's faith. His friend's faith saved this man. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. Who put Sarah on that right track? Definitely having a husband that was growing in his faith. Verse 12. Not only Isaac, but eventually a multitude as numerous as the stars in the sky or the grains of the sand by the shore came from one man, Abraham. Okay, well, we'll read verse 12, and then I have some other comments too. But anyway, therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars in the heaven, in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Once again, remember who this promise was made to. Who? Abraham. It wasn't Abraham, get your wife and step outside this tent and take a good look at the sky. Because Abraham's already had one child by someone he was married to, Hagar, Ishmael, promised, God said by him, how many? 12 princes that would come from Ishmael. And you can read about that then later as well. Then he has Isaac. So now we got two, and it's just like, oh man, this is going to make it so much easier for God to double that number now because of Isaac. And Isaac ended up having how many sons? Two, right? Two. Yeah, see, I almost tricked you. Two, and then he had, then Jacob had the two sons the 12 sons for the tribes for him. So anyway, we could see from those two sons that, boy, this could really start to explode, right? So, you know, for my three sons, we've got six and seven. Oh, six, seven. Never. on their way. And so it continues to multiply out. But we forget many times, at least I do on occasion, that Abraham ended up with another wife after Sarah died at the age of 120. And so this is where, Rick had made mention that we weren't sure, you know, up to a certain point, if it was Abraham and Sarah that had the problem, you know, that for this, and no doubt even God stepped in later. Because Abraham in his old age had, at 85 years old, had Ishmael, at 100 years old, had Isaac, and somewhere after 120 or 130 for him, till the age of 175, he had another wife that had six more kids. So now we're starting to look, there's eight of them. Right? Remember the old eight is enough? That's what Abraham said. But anyway, so as we look at that, what I'm saying is God's promise is continuing to work in this thing through Abraham. Sarah has now passed on, but God continues to give innumerable children and children's children and children's children as he said. There. So it's just a reminder of that. The therefore is therefore the purpose of explaining the result of the faith both of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham's faith is mentioned in Romans chapter 4, speaking of the promise of a child. Let's look at that. I believe you brought that up a couple weeks ago in one of the classes, was the Romans 4. But in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which he had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. I've always found that interesting. Maybe I need to study that out a little bit more, but that phrase of hope against hope, I just find that an interesting thing because we're dealing with faith. You know, people, as close as the synonyms that faith and hope may be, definitely faith and trust and faith and belief are closer, but I believe there's probably a synonym line through there of hope that we could get to for a synonym to faith. But hope against hope. And we see that in scriptures in time that, and I've brought sermon series before on Christ, our hope. There's things that we hope for. But then there is also hope realized. How many hope to go to heaven? And then aren't we hoping that that'll be realized one day? Yeah. Yeah, and so as we look at that, I just wanted to point that out a little bit. In verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. That's why I said even later on, I think God still had to have some sort of influence on that to fulfill his promise of having that great grand following of descendants. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. One thing I do find interesting, and maybe this is off beat or off, but remember, I used the phrase that Abraham is maturing in his faith as we see this going along. Because, like I said, we've pointed out, it didn't seem so strong some of the times going through here. How much convincing did it take? And even working outside of the mainstream God funnel for him to start having children with Ishmael, the problems that arose from that. And then, so we get to the promised son, the one that the Messiah will come through. So they knew that God had a plan and they'd messed it up. But they knew that God still had a plan for bringing the Messiah into the world through him, through Isaac. And then, do we even see, I guess what I'm saying is, you can help me out here, if I don't recall him having any doubt for the next 6 sons. Do we read that he struggled with those, having those next 6 sons? Do we think that there was doubt? We'll just say in their day, for sure, and not just for a companion's sake, Abraham wouldn't have had to have gotten married again after Sarah passed. But as he did, was it because now his faith was complete that, hey, if the Lord wants me to have more kids at excess of 130 years old, that it's going to happen? Because I had 6 more boys. My point is, we don't see the struggle with the faith as he got older. I don't even think it's mentioned in scriptures as being a problem. First son, oh, well, how's that going to happen? Sarah says, here, we'll help you out. Well, that wasn't the way God wanted it. Second son, you know, that's where Coop's been studying there. You know, the three men show up, and in a year from now, she's going to be expecting. I will say this as well. It's something that we don't talk about a lot, and maybe it would have been easier for Coop to discuss it, and maybe he's going to discuss it there. I guess I'm just going by those faith-only friends of ours. So do we think that it was going to be by faith that Abraham and Sarah had Isaac? Or do you think there was some physical activity involved? Yeah, some works. Have we stopped to consider that? What's that? That's right. Faith without works is dead. So God comes and Christ comes and tells them, hey, in a year from now, well, yeah, oh, that's so great. Now I heard her laugh, right? But there had to be some works involved there. Do we not think so? Do we know what I'm getting at? Shake your head and go like this. All right, if not, my wife, she's just getting ready. I can see her eyes just getting ready to be like, you better just stop now. My point is, our faith will only take us so far. We have to be involved in the work. However you want to look at that. Just throwing that out there. Brandon, just hold your hand up over her eyes. I can feel the laser beams right now just going through me. We at verse 20, I believe, of Romans 4. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Isn't that what it's really about? That stop and consider where we were, each one of us, when we became Christians. And aren't we grateful that we know and understand a whole lot more now? And do we do that so that people can say, you've learned so much? No, I say, glory to God for it. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Paul said that in regard to his own body, he contemplated it. It means he thought about it. He made a struggle with it. In other words, he understood biologically that his body should not be producing children. He also knew the same was true of his wife, Sarah. However, in spite of what he considered when looking at their bodies, he believed God's promise trumped the biology. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. I find that phrase interesting again as well, because if it's not used in his dealings with Isaac when he takes him up to the mountain, it's certainly implied. And I just can't remember right now if that was, but remember he made mention that even if God had him killed, that he was able to raise him up. He's as good as dead in the eyes of Abraham when he's heading up that mountain. Abraham considered his body as dead, as good as dead. He faced the fact that his body, was as good as dead. This especially speaks in terms of reproductive ability. I'm not sure why for him this was an act of great faith, but most would cite Abraham's advanced age as the reason it required faith in the promise. However, he had seen men father children in their age, and as we made mention of, that his own father was 130 years old when Abraham was born, clear back some time ago in our Genesis studies, they talked about that. It may not just be that he was too old to have a child. It may be that he had not had success of having children and did not expect the situation to change without divine intervention. And that's where we learn again through scripture over and over and over, what is impossible for God? Nothing. Nothing. He did not allow the fact that his body was past childbearing age to govern his faith. You know, just a little shout out a little bit for podcast, the Thrive podcast by Jim Book and Dave Jones. If you haven't had an opportunity, catch that. That one's on YouTube, and it's posted by the CRA. Anyhow, Jim makes a reference in there that I've heard him use before, that we have used here before. And now we go back 14 years or whatever in our own existence is where I want to. So Jim used the statement that we ought to be about doing things so big that people know that if it was up to us, it would fail. That the only way it's going to happen, that whatever we're involved in ought to be so big, there is only one way it can get done. And it's not because of us, it's because of him. And you know, I remember years ago when we started this building project, like I said before, we're coming real close, people, to starting to see the end of that, seeing the light at the end of that tunnel. And just keep working at it. And when it's done, it's going to be not because of any one of us. It's going to be, again, something was set out to be done that was so big that, you know, people in the community, what do they need a bigger congregate? What do they need a bigger building for? What's that for? Why do they have to have that? Why is this going on? There's all sorts of doubts and questions, even amongst our own people at times. Even, what did we get into? Right? But the thing is, when it's all said and done, they're going to be able to look at us and say, you know what? That was not about any one individual here unless that individual is our Savior. That it was so big, it wasn't going to be carried out unless he was involved in it. It wasn't going to be finalized. And that's where we need to understand those things about this. Anyway, that's one of the things that Jim talks about is having that faith to be able to go do those things and to really stretch those ideas of faith. Our faith is just like physical muscles on our body. It doesn't take long for those that have been, I've never been in a cast or anything that, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I pray I never have to be until I'm in a casket. As we look for those things, entropy sets in real quick. You don't have to, doctor says you're going to be off for 6 weeks off your foot. You're going to walk in boot. Those have been walking boots or casts or different things. Quickly, very quickly, your muscles start to shrink. Our faith muscle is no different. That unless we put it to the test, unless we stretch that back out, unless we do the things necessary to get that working and to accomplish that, it can actually move in the reverse direction until we get to the point of rebuilding that or building that back up, even in our ways of faith. All right, I lost my spot. Abraham chose to believe God against nature rather than believe nature against God. The basis for Abraham believing the promises of God goes to two things, a creation and a resurrection. 4:17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made in you, in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. He believed in creation, that God could make something come from nothing, and that even if that something needed to die, that he could resurrect it again. That is a real concise nutshell of faith that Abraham had. The Hebrew writer echoed the same thing as being foundational to biblical faith in this very chapter. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Abraham believed that if God can make a living world out of nothing, he could bring a living child out of a dead womb, creation. In just a matter of a few verses, we will see that Abraham believed that God could raise the dead also, Isaac. What Abraham believed to be true in his mind impacted his faith and trust in God. See, what Abraham believed in his own mind impacted that. Do you believe that God can do anything? Abraham did, and that impacted his belief. Imagine now going home tonight and starting to pray, as hopefully maybe we already are, but starting to pray for whatever it is, how impossible it may seem, that it's not too difficult for God. Will that not change the approach that we take? We want to have 100 new people in this church building come end of 2026. Do you believe it can happen? Are you going to pray that it'll happen? Where there's our faith, then where's our works? Are we going to make that happen? I believe we can. I believe we should give every valiant effort to that. I know I had a goal, personal goal. It failed. But that doesn't mean the one soul that was saved isn't worth it for the end of the year there that we had. I just look at it. The Lord's going to have us for that opportunity for this year to get that number towards whatever we're shooting for. But the point is, we need to be shooting for something. We need to be growing that faith, just as Abraham did. What Abraham believed to be true in his mind impacted his faith and trust in God. That is where we have to be careful, though. What he believed to be true. We live in a world today, you'll find them at your workplace, they may be in your family, they may be, that have a different belief that they base their faith on. That's why we need to make sure that, as Abraham said, and as was shared out of the Hebrews 11:3, that it is not something that man comes up with, but that the things which are not made out of these things are visible, that it comes from our invisible God that makes all things visible to us. What we believe about God and what we believe he can really do will shape how seriously we take his promises. Abraham is the one man referenced here. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, they had a child of promise, Isaac. Here he quotes from the promise made to Abraham about having many descendants. And the comparison the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore is a proverbial expression meaning the descendants would be too many to number. Abraham certainly had many descendants in the flesh, but he also has spiritual descendants. And you know, as much as I'm sure Abraham loved each one of those boys that were physically his, and he prays for them to come to faith in the Messiah, I would hope to think that Abraham has greater joy in those descendants that came from the Messiah. us, aka us, the church, today. Abraham certainly, the Bible teaches that we as Christians are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. And I believe it's earlier there in Galatians chapter 3, I think Rick referenced it, that is there not seeds in the plurality. It is seed that those who put their faith in the Messiah, the one that came from the promised child. And if you are a nation, if you're a great nation, if you had been blessed and you still reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Messiah, there is no way you can be saved. You are a lost nation. We need to remember that. Because our nation seems to put way too much trust and faith in has rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Be careful who we make our friends. Right? Oh, peace, peace, safety, safety. What does Jesus say when you hear those words? Look out. Look out. And so just sharing from that, because even Paul in the New Testament here, Galatians 3:29 says it's from one seed, or in Galatians 3, from one seed, and that now, so when we talk about being Abraham's descendants, it's not about being from Ishmael. It's not about the other six sons. And hold on till I'm totally finished with this statement. It's not even about being from Isaac's family, unless it comes from that line of Judah where Jesus Christ came as reigning king and savior. Abraham, Isaac had a whole lot more other kids, as we shared. Two kids, then the grandkids, and so what we're saying. But it still comes down to one line. Jesus. Jesus. Will you make him your Lord? Will you put your faith in him? There's a plan of salvation that's given that tells us we need to believe, put our faith, our trust into Jesus being the Son of God. Be willing to repent of our sin, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and live faithfully for Jesus. May that be our goal. May that be our desire to share, to continue. If we've learned anything from these last few verses, is it's okay if we need our faith strengthened. It's all right to say, Jesus says, oh, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, as we've talked about before, what he's really saying is, you got to get started. You got to get going on this. And then see what he'll do with our faith as it matures and grows. Once again, not that it's us, but it's the one that we put our faith into.